Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. This is another chapter of our new book club pick. It's called Leadership as an Identity by Crawford Loritz, The Four Traits of Those Who Wield Lasting Influence. If you haven't, go and listen to the intro episode I did called Leadership as an Identity, because this book is so good. I try my best to record each episode to where it's meaningful, it's useful, you get the message, you can receive the message without actually having to read the book. But still, I really want you guys to get this book. It is really good, and I believe that it will be an asset to your library. So go ahead and click the link in the show notes to get your copy. Also, a quick reminder, we'll get up to chapter 7, I believe, before the podcast is going to take a break in December, and then we're going to pick back up with chapter 8 in the new year. All right, so this chapter is the first chapter in the section called Brokenness. As we see in the title, the subtitle of the book is The Four Traits of Those Who Wield Lasting Influence. And one of those traits, he says, is brokenness. So that's what we're going to be covering in this section of the book. Chapter 2 is titled A Desperate Need for God. He opens up the chapter with a story. He admits later that this isn't a real person. This isn't somebody specifically he's describing, but it's more so a character that he created that is an accumulation of a lot of different characteristics of leaders that he's come across in his lifetime. And I even saw some characteristics that I don't think are good about myself in this story. So I'm going to read it to you. And as you're listening, I want you to think if you can identify with Jason, is who the guy is. So it says, Jason hung up his phone and leaned back into his padded leather chair. He felt like the world was closing in around him and he didn't know what to do. He looked around his office, his sanctuary, the bookcase, the framed diplomas, photos, and civic awards, the prized I Love Daddy cards from his young children. This is not supposed to happen to me, he thought. This wasn't the plan. How could Emily want a divorce? He gazed through his windows at a sky that had just been washed clean by an early morning spring storm. It was a soft, warm, sunny day, perfect for golf. I can hardly think. Why am I stuck in this office? He tried to focus on the next morning's meeting of the church elders. Three of the elders were strongly opposed to his plan to sell the church's current property and build a new campus on the outskirts of town. And now he was hearing about others in the congregation who were questioning the move. They're stirring up dissension, he thought. They're not submitting to authority. Perhaps that was Emily's problem. She needed to submit to his authority as her husband. He wasn't accustomed to a setback like this. One of his favorite phrases in staff meetings was borrowed from the film Apollo 13, failure is not an option. That has certainly characterized his life up until this point. He never sought to be a leader when he was younger, but it seemed as if people expected leadership from him. In the church youth group, in his fraternity, on his golf team, in the marketing firm where he worked for 3 years after college, people looked to him to provide fresh ideas and thorough planning. He was a clear thinker and he was eloquent. He rarely lost a debate or argument. He learned he could convince people he was right, even when he knew he was wrong. Success seemed to follow him. When he started a Bible study in his fraternity, it soon grew to over 40 guys who came each week. His abilities caught the attention of the directors of the marketing firm, and he was given managerial responsibilities within a year. When he shocked everyone and announced he was resigning his job to follow God's call to attend seminary, his boss called up the seminary president just to let him know what kind of young man he was getting. And now here he was, the 32-year-old pastor of a church that had grown by more than 500 people since he took over. The local newspaper had recently run a large article on the church with a large photo of him preaching. "I've put this church back on its feet," he thought. "Everybody loves my sermons. I'm introducing fresh ways to worship God and reach out into the community." Now it seemed like everything was falling apart. The church leadership wasn't as unified as it had been before. He had more trouble convincing people that his decisions were correct. The church hadn't grown in a year. He was beginning to wonder if God might be leading him somewhere else, a church where they would appreciate his leadership. But now Emily had filed for divorce, and that might mess everything up. He had to admit that their relationship had become contentious. He had a hard time talking with her. She just wouldn't listen to him. She was getting stubborn. "Just because you can outtalk me doesn't mean that you're right," she had said. How could Emily want a divorce when we've always said that we'd never even consider it? What's this going to do to the kids? What's wrong with her? How could she do this to us? Now, I know that was long, y'all, but I wanted to give the entire scenario that he pictured because I want you to think, can you identify with this person? I'm raising my hand. I'm somebody, just like they said with him, where it says success seemed to follow him. And when I say that, it's not from a place of being braggadocious in any type of way, but I've always personally been put in leadership situations. When I was in elementary school, I always found myself to be in leadership roles. I remember I was given the task of being the MC at my elementary school graduation. When I was in middle school, I was always in leadership roles. When I was in high school, within the first year of being on my dance team, the captains of the team, they got into some trouble. They got sat down and the team had to vote on who was going to lead the team. And the team voted me as one of their leaders. And I had just got there. But the same thing in college and work and professional life, as I just continue to grow, I have always been someone who quickly becomes a leader or who quickly masters something and ends up doing it well. That's just the reality of how my life goes. And I believe that it's the consequence or the impact of a lot of the gifts that the Lord has given me. But a vulnerability of this gift in a way that the enemy will manipulate it is it can become pride really quickly. I know for me, my mindset is I feel like everything can be figured out. I genuinely am confident in my ability to do most things. I feel like except for like sing and like draw certain like skills like that, I feel like I can do anything that I decide to do. That is just a default mindset of mine. I don't second guess myself often. I go after what I want and I believe I could figure it out. And if I'm not good at it right now, I believe that I will get good at it the more that I focus on it. So there's a level of confidence that I have that is beneficial and it has served me well, but it can very, very easily go to pride if not stewarded well. And I can name so many instances over the course of my walk with the Lord where I have had to check that. And I have seen how I go from this place of brokenness and dependence on the Lord because he's put me in a situation where I've had to be similar to this guy in this story, where he's at a space where his church leaders or elders or whoever is no longer listening to him or trusting his decisions. His wife wants a divorce. His hands are essentially tied. So he has to depend on the Lord. And God is so kind where I feel like there's so much grace even in this because he's not divorced yet. He still has time to fix things, an opportunity to fix things with his church. So his hands are tied, but he really not at rock bottom. He's at a crossroads. And I would much rather the Lord get my attention at a crossroads than rock bottom. I would much, much rather live and operate in a daily consistent space of brokenness and space of desperate need for the Lord so that I never have to get to the crossroads in the first place. That would be best case scenario. But for as long as I'm wrapped in flesh, it's much more likely that I'm going to get to that crossroads. It's much more likely that you are going to get to that crossroads more times than you would like to admit. And again, I read this full story because I believe many of us find ourselves in, while it may look different, similar situations as the guy here, where pride has taken over, where self-sufficiency has taken over. So you're doing godly things. He's not sinning. He's a church leader. It doesn't say that he did anything immoral. He is in a contentious place with his wife. They haven't gotten a divorce yet, but she wants one. So he's a husband. It doesn't say that he was unfaithful or anything like that. They're in a rough patch, which all marriages get to at some point. He's a father. The story referenced the I love you, daddy cards in the office. So his kids love him. I would assume that he's a decent father. So again, he's not in a space where it's like he's in a life of sin, but he's in a prideful place. He's in a place where he's operating in self-sufficiency, and that is very dangerous. One of the hardest things as leaders that we're going to have to do and be mindful of doing consistently is having skills, having talent, having resources, having an education, having charm, having all of these different things, all these different resources at our disposal. We have to operate in a level of wisdom that says, yes, I can utilize these things. Yes, I can do this. Yes, I have been able to do XYZ for so long, but I'm going to choose to stay broken so that the Lord can use me. I can be self-sufficient, but I'm going to choose not to so that I can be that much more of a humble servant for the Lord. And I'll pick up these resources that I have how and when He tells me to use them. I'll pick up these resources I have to steward His assignment well, but I won't be led by my own intellect and my own abilities. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit and use my intellects and abilities as necessary to do what He said and how He said it. Does that make sense? Because it's real easy for us to be Christ adjacent, where we're doing all the stuff. We're praying and we're going to church. We have these kingdom businesses. We are reading our word. We're doing these Christian activities, but we're not living dependent lives. And the enemy will make us feel like we are because we're doing those things, but that's not true. I remember I had a conversation with a leader at one point, and I was communicating to them how, and this was when I was pregnant with my oldest son, and I was getting ready to be put in a leadership position. And I said, you know, one of my hesitancies about this is that I feel like I'm already trying to figure things out. And as far as my own relationship with God for Tatum and what He's saying to me and Him building me up, nothing to do with my work, with ministry, with anything that I do for other people. I'm just saying that I'm finding a hard time operating from that space of just being His daughter. And that was a time I was really figuring out a lot. And especially knowing that I was getting ready to have another child, I knew that there was going to be another factor placed into this scenario that was going to make what I was searching for at that time even more difficult. And it just didn't feel wise to move forward in that situation while I still was trying to figure out things in my own home. And so the leader had told me, you know, no, you're still doing things for the Lord because you are serving, you're doing this, you're doing that. And I heard them, but I feel like that logic was very flawed. And I felt like it will put me in a dangerous position. It'll put me in a position to where I am doing all of these things for everyone else. From the outside looking in, she's this amazing leader in ministry. But I haven't just sat with the Lord as His daughter in ages. I haven't just sat with the Lord from a place of humility and asked Him to change me. I haven't sat in a place of repentance where I rang out my heart and I just asked God to make me more like Him. I've been so busy doing Christian things and not prioritizing just sitting before the Lord. And so I recognized that could have been my future and that wouldn't have been right. So I had to pull back. But again, that can be so many of our futures if we're not cautious and we're not prioritizing being broken before the Lord. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important, and in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. One of the most frustrating aspects of hiring is finding the right person. It takes a long time, and you really want to find the right person quickly so that you can start making the progress that you want to make on your business. If you're in a similar boat and you realize that your business needs to hire somebody yesterday and you want to know how you can find amazing candidates fast, easy, just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. When I was hiring, the process was slow and overwhelming. I wish I had Indeed. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need. The author says, brokenness is a conscious core awareness that you need God in all things. A broken person has come to realize that he is nothing and can do nothing apart from God's presence and enabling power. A broken person has come to the end of himself, at least what he understands at that moment to be the end of himself. For a Christian leader, brokenness is a dear friend and pride is the enemy. When you are broken, you realize you cannot do it in your own power. You cannot earn salvation on your own. You cannot walk with God on your own, and you cannot fulfill God's assignments on your own. Why? Because of the very nature of God's assignments. As I wrote in the last chapter, God's assignments revolve around his priorities, helping people know him and walk with him. The very nature of what he wants done is supernatural. He uses human instruments to do what is impossible. He then brings in a very beautiful scripture, Isaiah 57:15. In the English Standard Version, it says, "For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." And so this text, I call it a beautiful scripture because it emphasizes the sovereignty of God, how he is greater than any of our limitations, how he exists beyond whatever it is that we could see, feel, or touch, and how he has this supreme authority over everything, how holy he is, how he's perfect, how he is separated from sin, how he's worthy to be praised. It magnifies the magnificence of the Lord. And in that same verse, emphasizes how this great big God, who is just more amazing than we can ever describe, how in all of his magnificence, he is still near those who are humble, those who are brokenhearted, those who are repentant. If you're in a place of being remorseful for sin, a place of being just really humble and choosing to be dependent on the Lord, he's right there with you. And he's going to renew, he's going to restore, he's going to acknowledge you, he's going to see you, he's going to outpour life and hope into you. Like, I don't know, this scripture is just so beautiful because it just shows the goodness of God, the sovereignty, but still the safety. And it's so encouraging. It's such an encouraging text. And I wanted to emphasize this text that he brought in because I want any of you, even if you are identifying with the story that was painted in the beginning, where you're at a crossroad, where you have historically been in a good spot, you've seen success in what you're doing, you've seen success in your personal life and your professional life, and things have been going pretty good for a while, but now you find yourself at a crossroad. You may be facing a divorce. You may be facing being unemployed for the first time. You may be facing business, hitting a rough patch for the first time. Whatever that crossroad looks like for you, it is so encouraging to know that even in this brokenness based upon circumstances, even though the Lord has brought you to a place to be humbled and to exercise humility, that he is right there with you in that space to breathe fresh life into you. That's such an encouraging, encouraging text to me. But nevertheless, another part I have highlighted here, he says, brokenness is not a one-time event. It is never finished. It's an ongoing process. In her excellent book, Brokenness, The Heart God Revives, Nancy DeMoss Wogmuth writes, brokenness is not a feeling or an emotion. Rather, it requires a choice, an act of the will. Further, this choice is not primarily a one-time experience, though there may be profound, life-changing spiritual turning points in our lives. True brokenness is an ongoing, constant way of life. True brokenness is a lifestyle, a moment-by-moment lifestyle of agreeing with God about the true condition of the heart and life, not as everyone thinks it is, but as he knows it to be. I thought this was so good, and the question that I asked out loud as I was reading this is, how do you make brokenness a lifestyle? Because it's easy to think about it from the sense of you're at a crossroads or you hit rock bottom, some event happens, you've come across some type of failure when you're forced to be in a position where your inadequacies are brought to the surface. But what about in the mundane? What about in just those regular day-to-day moments? What does brokenness in this sense look like in those cases? And I believe the answer to that is what the Bible says, abide in him and him in you, and you'll bear much fruit. I believe it's in what the Bible says about seeking ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. I think the answer lies in us dwelling, making the Lord our dwelling place. I believe that the answer resides in operating, forcing ourselves to operate on the day-to-day with the mindset of I am nothing without the Lord. I am dependent on him. I am inadequate. I am broken. I am nothing without him. I mean, that sounds a lot different than the affirmations we may want to say every day. Like, you want to say I'm strong, I can do anything, you know, you is kind, you is important. You want to say that. You don't want to look in the mirror and say I am broken, I am inadequate, I am. But in a way, we got to figure out then, how do you maintain just, you know, a general confidence and happiness within yourself, but also a dependency on the Lord though. So what does that look like? So I think maybe we should find some, and I'm just processing out loud. I don't have an answer yet, but I'm thinking maybe we can just, I don't know, find some scriptures or something that's reminding us of that every day. To where I know we like to quote certain texts about God wants to bless us and prosper us and all of that. But what we need to be meditating on and studying every day is that I am nothing without him. that everything that I do today, everything that I do tomorrow, everything I do in this life, this one life that I have, is to glorify God. I want every thought to glorify God. I want every decision to glorify God. I want everything that comes out my mouth to glorify God. I want to be honorable in my master's sight, period. Nothing I do is for nothing but to glorify the Lord. That is that mindset that we have to have. And I'm a think about that a little bit more offline, because even for myself, because I told y'all I can identify with homeboy that we talked about here, where it's easy for me to be like, oh yeah, I could figure that out. So I don't pray about it because I'm too confident in my ability to figure something out. But I said, as I said before, it should be the opposite. It should be, I'm going to take this to the Lord first and then use the resources and skills that I have to obey, not for that to be the first line or first course of action. The next section here, it says, inadequacy is a positive trait. He says, author and Christian leader Randy Alcorn told me that brokenness is more than just periodic times of intense emotional experience. It's an ongoing sense of inadequacy. When I come to a point as I face life's difficulties where I know I can't just fix things, including myself, it's a much needed reminder that he is the vine, I am a branch, and apart from him, I can do nothing. He says, sometimes well-meaning people have tried to talk me out of this sense of inadequacy, but this sense is vital to fruitful ministry. Furthermore, it's rooted in reality. In and of ourselves, we are inadequate, and we must come to terms with that. When I don't recognize my inadequacies, I trust myself rather than Christ. In our world, leaders are chosen because of their abilities and experience. The more success they see as a leader, the more they grow in confidence. And the more they are tempted, such as Jason in my opening story, to take pride in their gifts and abilities. This is a pitfall for young leaders and older leaders alike. Another pitfall for young leaders is the conceit of youth. The idea that tried and tested ideas and older colleagues are hopelessly out of touch and that new ideas are superior. Again, our culture promotes this belief. I remember the phrase that the baby boomer generation created. It's called never trust anyone over 30. Each new generation feels that they can do things much better than a previous one did. Young leaders tend to be full of pride and self-sufficiency and a generational arrogance that comes with being 20 and 30. Hans Finsel once told me, this should be recognized as a danger sign. Ken Burr echoes these thoughts. Pride is one of the easiest ways for a younger leader to lose their influence. Pride tells us that we can do, while we need to understand that the wisdom that is needed is godly. Pride will also stop us from seeking others' advice and will often lead to quick, rash decisions and subpar results. These are men who know the truth of their words because they were young once themselves. Likewise, an older leader can fall into a similar trap. For years, he has progressed in power and influence, and he has grown confident in his abilities. His track record in making important decisions leads him to believe that his opinions are usually the correct ones. After years and even decades of success, he develops a sense of arrogance and infallibility. In reality, these leaders are depending on their natural abilities, and at some point, they will realize that these abilities only take them so far. In a Christian ministry, you will eventually realize that there are some things that only God can do. Ain't that the truth? Last part I have highlighted, he says, there's always a gap between what you have and what God wants done. You won't always see how it can be done, and so you're faced with a choice. Either you allow the magnitude of that challenge to overwhelm you, or you surrender all your deficiencies to him, acknowledging that the only way you can accomplish the assignment is if he does it through you. This right here, somebody needs to hear this, because there are some of you who are in a space right now where the Lord has given you an assignment and a task, whatever the case may be, and it is so big that it overwhelms you. So instead of then taking all of that feeling of inadequacies and using it to drive you to the Lord and to open you up so that he can do it through you because he has to, you allow it to paralyze you. You allow yourself to psych yourself out. You think of all the reasons why it can't happen. This must not not have been God. This had to have been me. I don't know. And you start asking all these people. So then the enemy now has all of these vessels to start planting seeds of doubt, as opposed to you just recognizing that gap as an opportunity. So you got to decide whether you're going to have a growth mindset or if you're going to have the opposite. Are you looking at gaps as an opportunity to see the Lord work? Or are you looking at it because you're just worried about what you can't do? That's just pride. It's just pride still. And so some of you, I'm going to read it again. You need to understand this and internalize it. There is always a gap between what you have and what God wants done. You won't always see how it can be done. And so you're faced with a choice. Either you allow the magnitude of that challenge to overwhelm you like you've been doing, or you surrender all your deficiencies to him, acknowledging that the only way you can accomplish the assignment is if he does it through you. God loves to be depended on. He gives imperfect, inadequate human beings impossible assignments. And I think that's a good place to end. Y'all, get this book. Please get this book. It's good. With a T, it's good. Thank you so much for listening. We'll do chapter 3 next time. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.